All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Welcome back to the Sunday School Hour, and we are going to continue here in our chapter and book study titled A Sure Foundation. I've given some of you guys back in the day this particular book, and you guys should have the copies here. If you don't have a copy, that's okay. I think we have additional copies on the bottom drawer. You're more than welcome to take a look, but this is the Sure Foundation book right here. And so we're just going to be on chapter 7 or page 17. We're going to talk about a great study about God is a Spirit. And of course, I always want to give credit where credit is due for any material or books that we use to help edify our saints here, where you can find the material. So this right here is the location. This is called the James W. Knox website for their ministry and their books. So this is where you can find it, and I'm just going to put it out there for the online crowd. I want to encourage you to purchase a book. This is a phenomenal book that we use at our church for basic discipleship. So once you guys complete this book and we go through it together and you have a good understanding of basic Christian doctrines, this is kind of like, if you will, a prerequisite where I can say, hey, well, I'd like to incorporate you into teaching and helping out, because now you understand the basics of Christianity. And this is kind of like a good foundation to start off with. So hence the title, A Sure Foundation. So I just want to plug that in there for the online crowd. That's where you can locate the material that we're talking about in-house. And then for those of us who are members, if you don't have a book, like I said, you can right now, if you want to go underneath there and you can look for one, it's just the green one. And but if not, that's fine. Just follow along. Amen. Do me a favor, and let's go ahead and turn now together in our Bibles to the book of John chapter 4. And let's go down here all the way to verse number 24. And then we'll read the verse, open up with a word of prayer, and continue today in our Sunday school hour. Amen. Sure is a blessing to see all of you that are here today for church. Praise God. It is a blessing and honor to see you all here today. Alrighty. I don't know what's going on with my tie today, but there we go. Maybe this way. Okay. Nope. A little bit too much there. There we go. Okay. Okay. So here's what the Bible says, and I'm glad that we are reading out of the New King James. I'm sorry, the New King James. I meant to say I'm glad we're reading out of the King James Bible, because the New King James Bible and the modern versions, they alter it. And how about this? Because we do have technology, again, because we're here for a good lesson, allow me to go ahead and type it in our Bible comparison website here. I forgot what it's called. I think it's called Bible Gateway. And this will be good for you guys to see, again, another reason why it is that we use the King James Bible here for all of our teaching and our doctrine. Of course, we're not hardcore extremists that say you cannot be saved solely by using the King James Bible, because the gospel is not the King James Bible. The gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. However, for spiritual growth, that's where we would say, for sure, you got to have the King James Bible, because it preserves the Word of God. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So let's go ahead and read it how it's stated, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. All right. So the Bible says here in John chapter 4, verse 24, stated here by the Lord Jesus Christ as He's talking to the woman at the well, a woman of Samaria, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here once again for the Sunday service. I'm so glad to see the saints that are here for the Sunday school, and we pray for those that will come in a little bit. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn again from the Word of God on these basic fundamental doctrines concerning how you reveal yourself to us and the truths that we need to remind ourselves about, so we can stay on a sure foundation of how we believe in you and how we represent you and answer perhaps those that may question us of who you are and your character and your nature. So Lord, thank you for commentaries, but we know they don't replace your Bible. Help us now to receive more from the truth of the Word of God, and then to be guided, if you will, Lord, by these great men who study the book. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so look at how our King James Bible states it clearly. Once again, God is a Spirit. Let's look up here to the projector. We're going to do a quick Bible comparison. And for those of you who have perhaps back in the day have studied along with me on my online studies of the history of the Bible, going through that book, and also about Mormons or apologetics, I haven't done it in a while. But now that I'm done moving, if you will, everything is pretty solid. I'm able to dedicate my time back to where we used to. I used to enjoy coming here to the church and that little cool study desk that you guys see on the right-hand side, and do all the cool comparisons and Bible stuff. This is the website that I use. So again, you guys can search this out on your own, BibleStudiesTools.com. Now, mind you, a lot of these versions have been updated since their first publication. So for example, if we look at the ASV or whatever these modern versions, that's not going to be the original printing of how it was, how it first came out. So a lot of the old Christian authors that quote those versions to give you a reason or a lesson, they're quoting it from the year of that publication, so the 1970s or 80s, some of those books I have there. So all these modern versions are up to date, hence perhaps a lot of these errors have been either fixed, so you won't be able to kind of get that. So I still encourage you to read the books, amen, but now as we compare, we'll still see some of it trickle. So for example, if we go through some of these versions, the ASV has it properly rendered. God is a spirit, so they do follow the traditional text that underlines the Greek of our King James Bible. The Bible in basic English, God is a spirit. What letter or word was removed? Anybody? A. That is a big deal, and we're going to talk about that in our lesson today. Common English Bible, God is spirit. Notice lowercase, not necessarily capitalized, right? Go ahead. Almost. Yes, very similar. And what we're going to talk about today in our referencing is it denotes his personal, if you will, his personality, his spirit is distinct. In other words, he's not a universal spirit as these modern versions state, like he is spirit, just like a force, if you will. But he is a, it denotes a particular set, you know, individual singular spirit that is a person. And so, yeah, we'll talk about that. So Common English Bible with Apocrypha, same thing, God is spirit. The Complete Jewish Bible, God is spirit. The Holman Christian Standard, God is spirit. The Darby Translation, God is, they put that in brackets. Sometimes when you're studying these modern versions, which I encourage you to do, so you can learn and educate yourself. I have an NASB back there that I used to study out of, and it has it in brackets. And what those authors are trying to tell you is they put in brackets because they're telling you it's not in a particular Greek text that they were translating from, hence they're questioning it. ESV, God is spirit. GNT, the Good News Translation, God is at least capital spirit right there. God's Word Translation, God is a spirit. They have it right, but they don't capitalize spirit to denote his person, that is personal pronoun. Hebrew Names Version, God is spirit. You guys can see here. Jubilee, God is a spirit. They got it right. King James, of course. Lexham English Bible, they put in brackets. They remove the A. The Message Bible, God is sheer being itself. Dash spirit. What the heck is that? I don't know. Avoid the Message Bible, guys. That is like the hometown buffet Bible. I like to say it's sweet and spicy. There are just some unique things in there. If you want to ever have a fun time, you know, I know some of you guys like to read comics and whatever. Just why don't you read the Message Bible? That should make you laugh. Amen. The NASB, again, God is spirit. The NCV, God is spirit. NIV or NRIV, they're the same. God is spirit, God is spirit. New King James, look at here. God is spirit. So the New King James does not accurately translate that. For God is spirit, NLT, and et cetera, et cetera. You guys can see what we're talking about. So other than my personal studies, which I hope to get back into soon, you guys can check out that BibleStudyTools.com or just Google search Bible study comparison and then pick whatever search engine you want. And that way you can educate yourself as far as those differences. So now let's continue here with our text of what we're discussing now. Amen. So why is that a big deal? Well, first of all, man is mortal. Thus, man, in his limited vision, cannot see God. In other words, we are mortal in that we are in our flesh. We are a created being. We are not an eternal being in order to be able to see God from his vantage point in the fullness of his glory. This is not in your notes, but actually, there's a verse down there later. But let me go ahead and search this for us right now. I think the Lord states it like this, neither seen him or something like this. Let me go ahead and see if I can find it quickly here. Thank God for Bible study software. No, let me go to, I know it's where Jesus said something along the lines of seen him. Let me see here. I think it's in the book of John. Let me go ahead and isolate that. I know we're going to look at verse 18 of chapter 1. Let's go down here. Let's see here. Yeah, okay, so we'll find it somewhere in there. There was a particular verse that he stated, you've neither seen him nor known him or something along those lines. Okay, we'll find it later. We'll come back here to our text. So man is mortal. We are surrounded on every hand by materialism. Many say they will believe only the things they can see. I'm pretty sure you guys used to, at one point, used to think like that. I know I used to be, before I became a Christian, I used to say, well, if I can't see it, I'm not going to believe it, right? But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, let's go ahead and look there now. And again, if you have your Sure Foundation, you can bring it, or you may find one around there in the pew somewhere. Verse number 18, here's what God says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So I want you to notice two different things that God has stated clearly of what he has created versus what other things exist from an eternal perspective. The things which are seen are temporal because they've been created. But there are things which are unseen, which God states are eternal. That's what he says, right? So this means that the man who only believes in what he can see believes only in things that cannot last. Very good lesson. Those of us who believe God, though we cannot see him, believe what he has said about heaven, though we cannot see it, right? We believe his revelation about being born again, though it be but an invisible operation of God. And I already taught you guys that when you get saved and you trust Christ as Savior, something does take place, but it's an invisible operation where Jesus Christ saves you. You don't see it, but it's true because the revelation of God found in the Bible is true. Through the eyes of faith, the things that we look to are eternal, things which can never be taken away from us, praise the Lord. Moses possessed this kind of faith, which is what? Looking at the things which are unseen, but yet are very, very real. Let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And these are the type of eyes that we need to work on ourselves and continue to practice. That is, we need to continue to have the eyes of faith, amen, as Christians. We need to continue to believe God, although we don't see God, and we need to continue to trust God, even though we don't physically see, if you will, his hand upon everything going on within our life, amen. He surely is here. The Bible says here in Hebrews 11, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice that. Notice how Moses saw the invisible by what? Faith, not through the mortal eye, okay? So, God is invisible to mortal vision, to mortal vision. If this were not true, he would not be eternal because of the law that we saw there in 2 Corinthians 4:18 concerning things which are seen or temporal, things which are unseen are eternal. Though unseen by us, God lives and rules the whole universe that he himself created. Being invisible, he has nevertheless revealed himself in wonderful ways through the things he has made and through the Bible, the written word, and through his Son who came in the flesh to declare or reveal the person of God. So back to Brother Giovanni's comment, God is a spirit, which denotes the person of God. Let's go back now to John chapter 1. This is really good. And you know what's unique about this particular verse here is I heard a mega church brother preach this from the pulpit one time, and he completely mutilated this verse. He wrongly divided this particular verse. But again, when you're in a mega church setting and everybody's coming by multitudes, thousands, and it's all about money and prosperity, nobody cares about the teaching because nobody's analytically trying to rightly divide it. They're just there because of the emotion and the sensation. But I'm never going to forget this fellow, and he was just stating here about no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him, and he used that to go back to Genesis about the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam didn't see God, and it was just his voice and his word, and somehow, some way applied it to us about the word of God, like it just needs to go, and that's it. Like, it was really bad. But notice the context. Let's read it one more time. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So, because we as Bible-believing Christians believe in the doctrine called the Trinity, even though the word Trinity is not in our King James Bible, which you will be attacked for, the term Godhead is, which denotes the plurality behind the God that we worship. let's go ahead and go back to 1 John 5:7. Some of this teaching may just be a refresher or a reminder for some of us, but notice why this is important when we talk about John 1:18. Let's read together here, church, in 1 John 5, verse number 7. The Bible states, for there are three that bear record where? In heaven. So, heaven, eternal. That's where God lives. He is an eternal being. But God, although he's one, as Brother Giovanni was saying, that is how he reveals himself to the creation, there is one God. This one God, however, is defined or and revealed to us through the Word of God within or as three distinct and separate persons or personalities, if you will. There is the Father, who's God. There is the Word, which is not another title for the Lord Jesus Christ. He also is God. And then there is the Holy Ghost, who also is God. Look at what the end of verse 7 states. These three are one. So these three bear record in heaven. That is, they communicate, they reveal, they all partook in a particular role in the creation, hence judgment, and then ultimately redemption. We know that all of them played a role in our salvation, everything else. But notice, they're unified. So in other words, when we talk about the Godhead, they are one singular as a representative of God, as the being of God. But they're distinct, if you will, and I'm going to reverently say this, they are divided as it pertains to their role or the position that they hold within the Godhead. So let me break that down. Some of you guys are like, what do you mean by that? Let's go back to John 1:18. Let's go here to verse number 1. I'm sorry, John chapter 1. I apologize. John chapter 1, not chapter 18. Look at here in church in verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you didn't have 1 John 5:7 in your Bible, you'd be completely thrown off and confused, and the Jehovah's Witness will try to convince you that Jesus was created, he cannot be God, and then obviously the different churches around us, if they don't understand the doctrine of the Trinity, they're going to completely lead you astray. But we have the Word who was God, because he partakes within the being of God, but he is distinct from God. Notice, with God. So the term God in verse number 1 must be referring to another member of the Godhead. So let's continue. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. According to your Bible, church, everything that was made by the Word. But the Word is God. But the Word, as that particular member within the Godhead, he was the one that physically carried out the creation. So that's why I stated earlier, every member of the Trinity, they have a role or a personal role that they play within, or they serve, if you will, or their particulars that they administer as God. The Word is who created all things. So let's go down later on to verse number 14. The Word was made flesh. Notice it doesn't say, and the Father was made flesh. It doesn't say here for a reason, even though later on we will read a verse that says God was manifest in the flesh, but we're going to see the context there before we close. It says here, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word of God was made flesh, and the Word of God incarnate as a human, if you will, as a man, represents God in human form. So if you want to know who the Father is, look to the Word incarnate. If you want to know the heart of the Father, look to the Son incarnate. Does that make sense? The Son of God represented the invisible God in a perfect human tangible form. I hope that makes sense. So go down with me a little bit later now with kind of building it up for us now in verse number 18. No man hath seen God at any time. That's correct. But which member of the Godhead? The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So now, Christian, what member of the Godhead has no man ever seen? God the Father. Does that make sense? So I'm telling you guys, this basic truth that I just told you, there are so many Christians who cannot give you a concise answer. And when we used to go sowing out there, remember my wife and I and Brother Manny, we were walking on the pier one time, and these Jehovah's Witnesses were walking around there. And man, they have their iPads now, y'all. They'll show you the versions and the different things. And we're taking them to King James Bible, of course. And as soon as we prove to them that Jesus was God, right, because they're going to argue with you, well, if Jesus is God, who is he praying to, himself? In other words, they're looking at it through a mortal vision, you see. But we're looking at it through the eyes of faith because we're born again. No man has ever seen God the Father. That's the point. But the Word of God, who is a member of the Godhead, he is God incarnate. We can completely see the person, if you will, of God, the invisible God, if that makes sense. So the scripture has been perverted in almost all the new translations. We do have a preference of Bibles, of course, and we prefer the authorized King James Version. We recognize it as being the Word of God for the English-speaking people of the world, and primarily so because of the gross changes and alterations made in the new translations. Many of the new versions will read the only begotten God. You say, whoa, is that true? Well, let's go and look it up real quick together before we close today's Sunday school lesson. Let's see if that's true, where a lot of these, or some of these modern versions will alter the way that that is rendered. So let me go here, John, we'll type in 1:18. All right, let's take a few of these here. So the ASV, no man had seen God at any time, the only begotten Son. Okay, ASV has it correct. They follow the TR there. No man has seen God at any time, the only Son. So the Bible in basic English, other than only begotten, right? They have essentially what you can identify as the Son and God. The Common English Bible, no man has ever seen God, God the only Son. Okay, that's kind of unique there. Let's go down to one of these only particulars here. Complete Jesus, the only and unique Son. Okay. The Holman Christian Standard, the only one and only Son, the one who's at the Father's side. Let's go down here. Oh, the Darby translation. Oh, they have it, the only begotten Son. Good, good. The ESV, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. Okay, here's where it becomes weird and unique. The English Standard Version. No one has ever seen God, semicolon, so that's the first statement, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Whoa, are there two gods? According to the English Standard Version, if you read it as it is in its complete syntax, it's just the sentence structure, there's two gods. That's why they're kind of unique in how they're putting it out there. Let's see here. The Good News Translation, the only Son. Good. No one has ever seen God, the only Son. Good. Good news, good news, good news. God's only Son. Okay. Let's go down here to the New King James has it. Okay, rendered nicely and correctly. The Lexham English Bible, the one and only God. Again, that's unique there. Let's see here. The Hometown of Faith one, the Message Bible. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. Okay. This one-of-a-kind God expression, okay, so that's completely weird. Again, the Message Bible. Here it is, the New American Standard Bible. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. So again, not two gods, not a plurality of gods. One God, but notice the member or the role of each particular member. Here we have it as the Son. So there you go for your comparison. How is it that the Son declared the Father? Well, we already read John 1:1 earlier, and we already read John 1:14. God is invisible, but the Word, that is, God the Word, took upon himself a body of flesh so that God might be declared. We cannot see him because he is a spirit. So God placed upon himself a veil of human flesh, that is, a human body, so that we might have the opportunity to observe him. I hate to have to keep pointing out the heresies found in the new versions, Brother James says, but we must sound the alarm when necessary. The A in God as a spirit is known as an indefinite article. It distinguishes and identifies what follows. This identifying article is removed from many of the new translations of the Bible. They simply say God is spirit, which is inaccurate. God is a spirit. You see, angels are spirits. You have good ones, you have bad ones, you have fallen ones. Devils are spirit beings of a sort. Therefore, God is not simply spirit. He is a spirit. That is, he is a living personality, though unseen by human eyes. And because God is a living personality, he therefore is a spirit. He is a particular person, not just one of many, if you will. Okay, point number two. When God or angels appeared to men, either a vision was seen or a manifestation took place. Let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 9, and then before we close, we'll go to Hebrews. Daniel 9, and then we'll go to the book of Hebrews. So this is also another good lesson to learn. When you read your old Bible, the Old Testament of the Bible, there are things called theophanies. What does that mean? It is an appearance of God in the Old Testament. Then you're going to hear another term from your study books called Christophanies, which just means it is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Well, there's nothing wrong if you have 1 John 5:7, because we're going to recognize that they're all one, three in one. So whether it's God appearing to a man here or God appearing to a man there, they're God. They're both God. It's not a problem. So look at Daniel 9:20-21. Let's see here. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Here we have, church, an angel being shown to or being seen by Daniel. Daniel said he had seen him earlier in a vision. Later, if we look at the last book of our Bible in Revelation chapter 1, we're also going to see the description there of, if you will, of seven golden candlesticks and one like the Son of Man there standing in the midst, etc., etc. We won't have time to read it now. And so here we have where there is a divine being that's being manifested or revealed to a mortal creature. And so we'll talk about manifestations next Sunday school, Lord willing. We'll talk about those different terms that explain how it was available for a human to see a divine being, if you will. Okay, last verse before we close. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And then we'll close right here. All right, the Bible says here, church, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So every other Old Testament that you read, God, the Almighty God, revealed himself in those different manners through the prophets. There you go. Verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. Now look at verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of what, church? His person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So we'll end here. But when you do come across that Jehovah's Witness, they are going to argue with you, and now you're going to be ready for that argument. They're going to say, oh, persons. Where does it say persons or personhood or what have you? Hebrews 1:3. So what you're going to do is take into 1 John 5:7 to establish the truth that they have the wrong God because they don't have the triune God. They don't have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You need to establish that. Number two, you need to establish that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh because he was the Word incarnate, not the Father, not the Holy Ghost, but the Word. And then number three, how the Word incarnate was not only in relationship to the Godhead as the Father, as a Son, but he was also the express image. That is, he completely represented in human tangible form who the invisible God is. That particular spirit. Remember, a spirit, a complete particular person or personality, if you will. All right, church. Well, that was our quick Sunday school lesson. Does anybody here have any comments or questions about how we talked about God is a spirit and how that denotes him as a particular individual person versus the newer modern versions, how they say that he is spirit as if just general spiritual form, just like the angels, etc. Do you guys understand the importance of that article A there? You guys get that a little bit? All right. So, just know that Jesus Christ represents the invisible God in human or tangible form, and he was completely the representation of God in all aspects in human form, if you will. All right. Well, with that said, church, we're going to go ahead and take a 15-minute break. Lord willing, we'll get back here and get ready for Sunday service. Thank you guys for the Sunday school hour. Amen.